Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri-News Director Jim Smalley.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. And brought to you by Assiniboia Livestock for the most reliable and dependable way to market your livestock. Today we have our end-of-week look at grain markets for this holiday-shortened week. Grain markets are volatile but showing downward pressure today. We have a look at COVID-19 and farm mental health. Real Agriculture looks at cattle markets with Ann Wasco. Yesterday was the final day of work for Gordon Bacon of Pulse Canada, and we have a look back on his work. FCC looks at COVID-19 and ongoing global demand for Canadian food products, and it is quite phenomenal. The farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnson's Grain, helping growers contract any type of grain. Call 1-800-324-7778. Grain markets were extremely volatile this week. PI Financial Commodity Futures Advisor Adam Pacallo says both wheat and canola were moving downward for the week.
Well, Jim, starting off on the canola front, definitely been a volatile week. It seems that that is kind of the story here, that, you know, canola yesterday off the USDA report was higher by $30 a ton higher, so that's actually limit up on the canola market. For the week here, though, we've seen actually canola down a couple dollars, but in between that, it's been quite volatile up and down. On the wheat front, Minneapolis wheat continuing its slide lower. Currently on the week, we're lower by about 20 cents a bushel right now. So all the grains today are selling off here after yesterday's move higher. Some key numbers to go over specifically for corn and soybeans. Corn, there was planting intentions came in lower, 91.144 million acres versus the 93.1 million expected. Traders actually kind of see more tightening corn stocks ahead for both old and new crop. So definitely on the charts, seeing a breakout there. On the soybean front, definitely to note on how that affects the canola market here. Soybean planting intentions came in at 87.6 million acres versus 90.1 million. So this news was extremely bullish for soybeans and really leaves very little room for any less than ideal soybean weather conditions. Now for wheat, a little bit different of a story though. Winter wheat acres were actually raised significantly with an increase of 1.1 million acres over the January seedings report. All wheat acres are 2 million above last year. So again, negative fundamentals for wheat. However, if we do see a significant rally in corn and soybeans, that should help support wheat to some extent. However, I wouldn't be too excited at this point given the trends.
So what's pushing canola down a couple dollars a ton and wheat down 20 cents a bushel this week, and the outlook beyond next week and beyond?
Well, right now, when you look at the soybean oil market, it seems that there could be a top in place for that. And that's one thing to definitely keep an eye on for canola prices here. Again, given how positive and bullish the report was for soybeans, that could be positive definitely for canola as well too. On the wheat front, I would say that I'm talking to clients about how they can be protecting their new crop prices there as well too, because of really the negative trends that we're seeing. So overall, I would say next week, I'm watching for a continuation of the downward trend in wheat and to see if, you know, canola might retest some of the highs if some of these other markets go positive as well.
Adam Pacallo is a commodity futures advisor with PI Financial.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
A full year of living during the COVID-19 pandemic has affected many people's mental health. In some cases, it's compassion fatigue or emotional burnout. Dr. Jody Carrington is a psychologist based in Olds, Alberta, and was a speaker last week at the Farm Credit Canada Young Farmers Summit. To help ease those feelings, Dr. Carrington recommends reconnecting with the ones who mean the most to you.
Think about spending time with or connecting to the people who remind you you're awesome, who make you laugh, who you liked to have a drink with or coffee with, and text them. Give them a call. Just say, hey, I don't know if I've, you know, I'm just wondering how you're doing today. It is sometimes navigating. We don't do that because we often think, oh gosh, they're busy. Or the other really cool thing, if you want to do this experiment, is I want you to pick up your phone right now and send a text message to a spouse, a partner. Send them a text message today and say this, okay? I don't know if I tell you this enough, but you matter to me. So you can do this to your parents or your kids or your partner, but don't pick the easy one, okay? And then just watch what happens. Because generally what's going to happen is they're going to think you're dying or you're loaded, all right? Because the people we love the most are suspicious when we're kind. We spend a lot of time having hard conversations with the people who are closest to us, and we forget to do this idea of connecting. But here's the deal. When people are connected to and they're acknowledged for their role in our respective lives, they rise. When you are acknowledged, you will rise. It's a fundamental truth that is ages old, but we forget it. Yeah. Some of the most successful leaders of businesses understand that it is not about productivity. It is about how you treat your employees. It is about how you reconnect with your family. And if this is a family business, it becomes really difficult to do.
Dr. Carrington also says no one is happy all the time, but it is important to recognize moments of joy.
People often come into my office and they say to me, oh my gosh, you know, Doc, I'm just not happy. I got a husband, or I got a wife, and I got kids. I'm just not happy. Listen, nobody's happy, okay? There's not one person on this planet that's just blissfully happy in this moment. Do you have moments of happiness? Absolutely. But nobody sort of gets up in the morning that I know, anyways, that is like, oh, look, I am so happy with my parenting skills. I'm so happy with the partner I chose. I'm so happy. This body is just, nobody's happy. The point is stringing together moments of joy in the run of any day, even on the darkest, hardest days. I want to know when the last time is you belly laughed with your babies or danced in your kitchen or laughed at some comedian on the internet, because it is in the joy, stringing moments together, seeking you will find, because they are everywhere. Misery loves miserable company. And as farmers, as agricultural experts, we are typically not an optimistic bunch, okay? I've rarely heard a farmer say, oh, this is going to be a good year. Let's buy the Dooley. Woo! I just can feel it. The almanac looks good, you know? Oh, no. Generally speaking, there's a lot of, it's too wet, it's too dry, wait for it, it's going to hail. Because we come from multiple generations who have said, you prepare for the worst. But the problem is, when you're preparing for the worst all the time, you're missing the joy, and it's everywhere.
Dr. Jody Carrington is a psychologist based in Olds, Alberta. She was one of the speakers at last week's online Farm Credit Canada Youth Summit.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamp's Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update brought to you by The Canola School. Get canola agronomic information when you need it on your smartphone, tablet, or laptop. Our library of timely agronomic information is free and available at canolaschool.com. Sean Haney here with RealAgriculture.com and Real Ag Radio on Rural Radio 147. It is time for the Beef Market Update with Ann Wasco of the Gateway Livestock Exchange. Ann, how are you doing today?
I am super. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, it's Thursday. We're headed into the Easter long weekend, so we're doing the Beef Market Update one day early this week.
Let's talk about the cash price. And last time we chatted, the cash price in the U.S. stuck at that 114. I think it was like for 6 or 7 weeks. What has happened in the meantime?
Well, thankfully, I have some better news to report. You know, last week we didn't talk and the market in the U.S. was up another 1 to 2 in spots. And this week, I know we haven't got all the trade in yet because it is early, but it looks like another 1 to 2 higher. So 116, 118, light trade, mind you, but it certainly looks like it's got some solid backing to hold on to those gains and potentially some more, whether it's this week or into next week. So it sure feels like it's got some solid footing for higher money and solidly have broken out of that range that we were stuck in for, I think it was 7 weeks.
Still not showing the strength, though, that the cutout has.
No, but, well, first of all, let's just go back one, you know, just... I like to, when things are good, I like to make extra points on them. And so the last time we saw a trade at this level for U.S. cash trade, you got to go right back to last summer. We briefly hit 118.50 right in the early weeks and months of COVID, and we only lasted there a week or two. So the psychology, I think, is going to be much improved. It's been a long time since we've been here. As you just brought up, the cutout market continues to just surprise, surprise, surprise to the good. The choice cutout this week already, and again, it's an early close, 247. That's almost 10 cents higher than last week. So a huge jump. And ignoring 2020's price shock that we saw this time last year when we had all the supply challenges, this would be the highest wholesale prices since the spring of 2017. The next thing you probably should ask me, but Ann, isn't Easter...
Yes,
ham?
Exactly. What is going on here? This is Memorial Day weekend, Canadian May long weekend. I think of those as like big beef weekends, not Easter weekend. What's going on here?
Well, I don't know if we're going to change the bunny from laying eggs or whatever, but certainly we're changing what consumers are putting on their plates for Easter or in terms of what we see at the retail featuring level, especially in the U.S. So, of course, this year or the past several months, we've seen very strong pork prices, which, of course, including ham, and supply is down. U.S. Pork production so far this year is down 3%. So all those things have got pork prices in the U.S. very strong, lots of exports. And so retailers are turning to beef, believe it or not, as a good feature to get folks in the store and moving beef and high-quality middle meats to go on the table for the Easter meal.
In 2021, the bunny goes moo.
That's a good one.
You mentioned pork shortage, production down, I think you said 3.5%. Well, what's going on there? Can you alleviate on that a little bit?
Well, again, you've got the shortage of pork in China and Eastern Europe because of ASF. So that's been looming. And the expectations that was going to be turning around has kind of been stifled because we continue to see ASF raise its head in China here in 2021. So the demand for pork in China from anywhere, but certainly the U.S. for sure and Canada, has got exports up. Production's down simply because we've had the impact of COVID kind of impacting all the way through the pork production chain over the past year. Bottom line, supply has got down, it's got prices up.
And the cutout goes, you got to think that raising cutout shakes that cash price loose a little bit. And I agree. It's a good indication. It's a good sign. And
Yeah. No, it's got good psychology feel as we start April off. And it feels like spring too. So all those things are just plus, plus, plus. Whereas normally we'd always say we got to get Easter behind us before we can really have that spring demand.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at realagriculture.com.
It's your agri weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. Today, we're looking at a sunny sky. Wind southwest 30, gusting to 50. The high today forecast at 17 degrees. The low, 0. Friday, sunny sky. Wind northwest 30, becoming light tomorrow morning. And the high, 13 Friday. The low, minus 1. Saturday, partly cloudy. The high, 13. The low, plus 1. Sunday, partly cloudy. The high, 15. The low, minus 3. Monday, partly cloudy. The high, 10. The low, minus 2. Tuesday, partly cloudy again with a high forecast again of 10, the low minus 3. Wednesday, partly cloudy and the high of plus 9. Normal high for this date is 7 degrees, the normal low minus 6. The sun rose at 6:34 this morning. It sets at 7:30 tonight. And around the province, the hot spot right now is yellow grass in the southeast corner at 15 degrees. The cold spot, Stony Rapids, way north at minus 1. Estevan is 13, Saskatoon 10 degrees, Swift Current 11, Weyburn 13, Yorkton 10 degrees. In Regina, we're 1 degree off the hot spot for the province. We're at 14, that's 57 Fahrenheit. Partly cloudy sky, winds are from the south, southwest 27, gusting to 40. Humidity 29%, the barometer is dropping 101.2. Cloudy in Moose Jaw, 13 degrees, winds are from the south, southwest at 30, gusting to 42. Once again, Regina, cloudy in 13. Partly cloudy in 14. That's 57 Fahrenheit. Back in a moment.
This spring, apply pre-emergent Edge Microactive Group 3 herbicide from Gowan, Canada, before seeding your canola. Maximize yield today and manage resistance tomorrow. Always read and follow label directions from Gowan, Canada.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers. McDougallAuctions.com. And brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. Wednesday, yesterday, was the final day on the job for Gordon Bacon, who retired as the longtime chief executive officer of Pulse Canada. Bacon, who grew up on a farm near Ogemaw in southeast Saskatchewan, was Pulse Canada's first employee back in 1997. At the beginning of his tenure, the focus was creating awareness about Canadian pulse crops in the global marketplace. That included building ties with foreign customers for direct sales. As exports increased, other issues arose. On the domestic front, he says transportation has always been a priority for Pulse Canada.
One of the things that we have to look at in our crop sector is, you know, for some of these crops and some of these markets, you know, there was a period where over a 3 or 4 year period, we had shipped pulses to more than 150 countries. Now, not all of those are regular customers, but, you know, a lot of those were like 3, 5, 10 containers. So that's very different than bulk commodities where you're running unit trains. So the measurement of efficiency of a transportation system needs to include throughput, but it also has to include the ability to meet the needs of customers, whether they're big or small, getting the product on a timely basis. And so to me, those are the kind of core things that you focus on in transportation, not to be stuck on macro numbers, not to be stuck on yearly performance records, but, you know, mode of transportation, direction of transportation, and timeliness of meeting customers' buying requirements. Because if your bin is empty in a country somewhere around the world and you can't get it in a timely manner from Canada, Canada becomes either a discounted market or a market of last purchase resort, because you just need product, you know, when you need it, not 3 weeks or 6 weeks later.
On the export front, Bacon says market access to major countries like India has been a major concern since late 2017.
They're certainly more frustrating, and I don't know if that's a kind of a combination of what's motivating it or just sometimes. I think in many cases, market access is really a desire by the country not to have product come in, and so we are seeing some countries use a science-based argument to block trade, when there really isn't any science behind the argument that they're using. That's frustrating, because I think it's an abuse of international plant protection rules. You know, I think as we have lowered, and this is sort of like over the last 30 to 40 years, as we have lowered trade barriers related to quantitative and import levies, countries at times decide that they want to continue to restrict trade but because one door is closed, they start looking at some of these plant protection policies and you know, using arguments that I think are really tough to understand, like matters of national security. You know, it's a challenge to decide, are we a free trading world economy, or what degree of protectionism is going to be allowed? And then this is a challenge from everything from vaccines to food. So these problems aren't going to go away. I think some of the recent supply and demand issues and the issue of COVID have, you know, brought these issues of being self-reliant to the forefront. So I think we're going to continue to face these kinds of issues in the food sector going forward.
One way to combat market access challenges is to develop new domestic markets for pulse crops. With the move to more plant-based protein, Pulse Canada has set a long-term goal of finding new uses and markets for 2 million tons of pulses by the year 2025.
I think what the strong domestic market does is give us some price stability, and you don't need to have the majority of it processed domestically to put a floor into prices. So we've got new plants in Saskatchewan, we've got plants in Alberta, we've got a couple of plants, big plants here in Manitoba. And I was just on a call today where the projection, and this was a European projection, that the compound annual growth rate for plant-based applications in meat and beverages is forecast at 17%. In the food industry, that's a phenomenal number. So we have seen strong growth. The forecast is continuing for strong growth, and it makes a lot of sense for us to be working really hard to make sure that the construction of new facilities takes place in Canada. It reduces some of our transportation costs because we're shipping something that's more highly processed, creates economic value for Canadians. So I think it also puts these plants really close, not only to the plant breeding, but also to the farmers. And I think the other thing that I feel is going to become even more important is this traceability and really right back to the farmer's field and the farmer's practice. So I think there's a lot of reasons why we should be working really hard to make sure we attract this kind of investment into value-added processing and make sure that it is located in Canada.
Gordon Bacon retired yesterday as the CEO of Pulse Canada. However, his work will continue at the global level.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelmann Industries. Look to Degelmann for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. And the REMAX Crown Realty Ag Team of Marcel DeCorby and Graham Toth. Online at landforsalesask.ca. A new study by Farm Credit Canada suggests Canada's food and beverage sector may emerge even stronger in 2021. FCC says the pandemic has brought losses that can never be recouped, but it's also opening a floodgate of opportunities for Canada's food and beverage sector. FCC senior economist Craig Klemmer explains.
When we look at 2020, obviously a major shock for so many of the food manufacturing industry and beverage manufacturing industries. Closure of food service industries across the country and to export dependent areas, as well as trade disruptions, cancellations of flights, just movement of trade being disrupted around the world. It created a lot of problems and uncertainty. And I guess what we're seeing out of it is that, you know, our food manufacturing and beverage manufacturing sector has been extremely resilient. They've adjusted their strategies. They found new marketplace, getting products into the grocery industry, doing some more direct-to-customer type of marketing and just being creative about getting their product. As we see the economies reopen, or as we saw some growth or some improvement in economies domestically and around the world, we started seeing some easing of those restrictions. We saw some food service industry starting to open up a bit more, with mixed success, obviously. But when we look at the opportunities, as 2021 moves forward here, as we see more vaccines, as we see more opening of the Canadian economy, as well as economies around the world, the food manufacturing sector is well positioned to take advantage of these growth, and that presents some major opportunities for Canadian food companies.
Klemmer isn't certain we'll see the kind of boom years that folks saw a century ago following the end of the First World War and the last great pandemic.
know, we've seen quite a bit of spending, people making investments in houses and stuff as well. So I'm not sure if it's going to be quite as strong as what they're saying in terms of the roaring 20s. But what we look at where we are right now and moving into 2021 here, I think that there is a portion of that. People are looking to get out. People are looking to spend some time with friends. To me, or the food manufacturing and the food sales thing. I mean,
that's Craig Klemmer, a senior economist with FCC.
The Market Updates with Jim Smalley on The Source, 620 CKRM.
Market Update brought to you by Scott Bjornson of Hollis Wealth. For more information or to book a free consultation, call 1-800-284-9999. And Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. If you are a Costco member, get huge savings on current 2019 and 2020 SUVs right now. Grain prices were mixed in early trading. A new month means some adjustments. Durham gained 184 at 314.16. Feed barley rose $20 at 267.68. Canola fell $9 at 682.67. Oats went up $12 at 236.53. Feed wheat rose 1 cent at 238.84. Number one red spring wheat dropped 4.99 at 266.50. The rest all unchanged. Flax 730.47, lentils 644.50, and yellow peas 383.70. The Minneapolis spring wheat May futures are down 11.5 cents at 5.99 and a quarter cents a bushel.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn 842-4574. And now, the latest quotes.
Good afternoon. This is Yorkton Heartland Livestock Market Report for the week of April the 1st. Just a small run here due to the nasty weather. 740 head in the short, 110 cows and bulls, a total of 850 head for the week. Cows selling a few cents higher this week. D1, D2 cows, 80 to 90. Sales to 94, 95 on these high-yielding kind of cows. D3 cows, 72 to 80. Cows are averaging 85 cents. Good bulls, 97 to 107. Sales to 110, 111. Bulls are averaging 101. On to the pre-sort sale. All classes of steers seem to be selling higher this week. Heifers selling pretty much steady. Listen up on the steer side. 425-pound steers, 259. 500-pound black steers, 248. 575-pound steers, 238. 650-pound black steers, 215. My favorite pen, 710-pound black steers, 206. 800-pounders at 190. And 850-pound black steers at 181. On the heifer side, 425-pound heifers, 212. 500-pounders, 205. 570-pound heifers, 204. 650-pound heifers, 194. 710-pound heifers, 175, and 800-pound heifers at 160. Next week, only weighing on Tuesday, April the 6th, but we will have a staff to receive cattle on Monday. The office will be closed on Monday. And this Saturday, April the 3rd, the 23rd annual Crescent Creek Angus bull and female sale at the farm at Goodeve. Watch for signs. Selling over 60 black Angus bulls, 40 black Angus open females. Sale starts at 1 o'clock this Saturday. That's it for this week at Heartland Yorkton. Wishing you all a safe and happy Easter weekend. Treat those kids and grandchildren with those good Easter goodies. I'm Harvey Exner. Have a good day.
And the latest Saskatchewan pork price is actually down a little bit today at $217.25 per CKG. Coming up, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report. Sask Power's carbon capture and storage facility at Boundary Dam Power Station near Estevan has captured more than 4 million tons of carbon dioxide since operations began in 2014. The milestone of 4 million tons was reached Tuesday, the equivalent of taking 1 million cars off the road for a year. Sask Power Minister Don Morgan says the facility was the first of its kind in the world and shows a strong commitment to support innovation and reduce greenhouse gases. Sask Power is on track to meet its goal to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. By the year 2030, emissions will be reduced by more than 40% below 2005 levels. Sask Power says 2020 was the second best year to date for the facility, capturing 729,000 tons of carbon dioxide. Boundary Dam Unit 3 produces 115 megawatts of power, enough for about 100,000 Saskatchewan homes. The federal and provincial governments have announced more than $53 million in joint funding for 24 recreation and green infrastructure projects in Saskatchewan. two solar energy projects, including the Owasis Solar Project on land owned by Cowessess First Nation southeast of Regina, will supply clean energy directly to the Saskatchewan electrical grid. SAS Power will also use funds to set up a battery energy storage project in Regina to support intermittent options like wind and solar. On the markets today, the TSX is up 177 points at 18,877. The Dow gained 150 points at 33,132. Oil is up $1.57 a barrel at $60.73 a barrel. And the Canadian dollar is unchanged at 79.59 cents U.S. That's the resource report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune in to the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. That's Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. I'm Jim Smalley.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, now starting after the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag, 620 CKRM.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.